Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Anger and forgiveness. Anger is one of the most widely studied and most common emotions shown on a day-to-day basis, alongside happiness, sadness, disgust, and fear. Anger itself is a really intense emotional state involving a strong, uncomfortable, and non-cooperative response to a perceived threat. It's something that every human being has and will show in their life multiple times. Whilst it's often perceived as a negative emotion, anger can actually be positive if used and utilized effectively and efficiently. If anger is not used as effectively as it could be, this can lead to a negative outcome of your anger. But there are skills and techniques that can help you to cope with that anger. There are a couple of types of anger, which can appear and affect us and our moods at any time during the day. A good way of being able to cope with anger effectively is to be able to spot which anger type you are or people around you are experiencing. There are two main types of anger: passive aggression and open aggression. Passive aggression is the type of anger where you don't admit it. This mainly happens due to a fear or a dislike of confrontation. Passive aggression can result in quietness, sulking, procrastination, and pretending that all is well when clearly it isn't. Open aggression is the opposite of passive aggression. Open aggression is a tendency to lash out in danger, angry outbursts, often becoming physical and verbally aggressive, which can result in hurting yourself and others. Typical signs of open aggression involve hitting, swearing, shouting, accusing, sarcasm, backchatting. Both passive and open aggression can be nullified, negated, controlled by using a thing called assertive anger. Assertive anger is a healthy way to deal with both of these types of aggression, as it forces us to ask questions about why we're angry. Often, when we're angry, we tell ourselves it's never our fault, that we're angry because of events that have occurred and the stimuli around us have caused us to feel this way. We rarely take the time to ask ourselves what it means for other people, and even less so take the time to question whether we're at fault for our own individual anger. Having assertive anger means doing things like thinking before you speak, potentially avoiding saying something that you will later regret. My dad used to say, "Count to 10 and say rabbits." It also means listening to the other side of the coin and hearing other people's arguments against yours as to what is the cause of the anger and how that's affecting them as well. Besides this, patience is another virtue that's needed in order to show assertive anger, as it can sometimes take a while to see each other's point of view and come to an agreed conclusion as to why you're feeling this way. Essentially, assertive anger is using your anger for good and not letting it overwhelm you. In doing so, you can show your level of maturity and show your family and friends that you care about them. The cycle of anger, of course, anger doesn't just appear from anywhere, at any time, any place. There's always a cause. Some of us feel anger differently, and some of us will get angry quicker and more intensely than others. But we will all go through the same process and phases of anger regardless. There are five main stages of the anger cycle: trigger, escalation, crisis, recovery, and depression. By understanding each individual stage, we can help to understand and counter the feelings of anger felt by us and by those around us. The trigger stage is what starts this cycle. It's the catalyst that causes our initial feelings of anger, and it could be anything from hearing news that shocks or disappoints or saddens us, feeling physically threatened, or feeling mentally nervous about something. So, for example, an up-and-coming exam. So the trigger stage is the kickstarter of our anger. The escalation stage is something that usually happens subconsciously. Our bodies change to deal with the new feelings that we're currently experiencing. We may get an increased heart rate and breathing, tense muscles for any potential physical confrontation, a louder voice, changed eye shape or a furrowed brow, frowning. These things often happen instinctively. However, noticing them early on can help to resolve and de-escalate a situation from getting much worse. Essentially, the crisis stage is the fight or flight moment. It's the moment that our bodies are at their most prepared to take action, and it's often instinctive. The issue with the crisis stage is that most actions occur here, be it physical or verbal, are often done with a vast decrease in our quality of judgment, which can greatly affect the outcome of the situation. The recovery stage is the time that it takes for our bodies and minds to recover and go back to their neutral, normal state, back to equilibrium. The adrenaline that we gain through our anger slowly leaves us, and our sense of judgment and reasoning replaces our survival instinct. For most people, the depression stage of anger will occur, and it will be noticeable. For a short period of time, your heart rate will drop below normal so the body can regain focus and balance. Our sense of awareness will return, allowing us to process the events that have just taken place. And as a result, we may feel guilt and regret for our actions, and potentially feel emotional depression. People who don't feel these emotions afterwards show a lack of assertive anger, as they fail to question whether they were in the right and how their actions have affected others around them, as well as their own relationships with these people. Let's move now to look at the importance of forgiveness. Because forgiveness is one of the best ways of coping with anger. Being able to forgive will help you in controlling your anger in the future. So, for example, if someone has apologized to you for being angry, or you yourself were angry, you now realize that it just wasn't worth it. Be open to forgive and ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry, I really am. By showing forgiveness and asking for it, you're showing kindness and a sense of self-awareness, which is incredibly desirable and an admirable characteristic to possess. Being open to forgive is arguably the best way of dealing with anger, but it has a multitude of other benefits that come along with being more forgiving, and these include better relationships. Forgiveness can be incredibly helpful in not only building but maintaining the quality of relationships with friends, families, co-workers, or whoever else you may have a relationship with. Harboring grudges towards people and showing a lack of forgiveness towards them can result in increased anger, sadness, and depression, and even potentially flow into and affect other relationships which previously may have been fine. So by being able to forgive, you can build trust and a stronger connection to the people you hold dear, all of which promotes a better, healthier relationship. Health benefits. Stress. Stress is something we talk about a lot, and a positive attitude toward forgiveness can help reduce stress. By letting things go and being the bigger person and forgiving people for what they might have done or said can help reduce your stress. Refusing to forgive and letting negative feelings build up without doing anything about it only increases stress, which in the long run may decrease your ability to perform in certain high-intensity, important situations, as well as lead to negative health benefits. Showing forgiveness towards others and reducing your stress can lead to lower blood pressure, reduced anxiety, better sleeping, and improved self-esteem. Reconciliation. While reconciliation does possess a variety of benefits, forgiveness doesn't always work. In some instances, the events that occurred are too significant and too important to let go with just forgiveness. Occasionally, forgiveness isn't enough to mend a relationship, and depending on the circumstances, avoiding contact with the individual or group might be the only way to counter your feelings of anger. However, forgiveness should always be something to think about, something to aim for. We all make mistakes, and we all do things that we regret. And whilst the relationship might never be the same again, forgiveness can help in repairing, returning the relationship to a state of equilibrium that both parties are content with, and in turn, provide an opportunity to learn and grow from. Forgiveness is a great characteristic to possess for a variety of reasons, as mentioned. However, it's not the only way of dealing and coping with anger. Other ways include learning what makes you angry and simply avoiding those situations, giving yourself time to think before you react, talking to people, friends, your doctor, a therapist, for example, taking regular exercise, reading or audiobooks to move your focus away from mulling over the negative outcomes and regrets. Anger is simply an inevitability of life, and everybody will experience it, some more than others, some more intently than others. But we'll all experience it nonetheless. Learning is what causes our anger and how we react, and how to cope with it more effectively and efficiently can go a long way in preventing us from feeling and suffering from this particular negative emotion. So as an individual, it's up to you to learn what causes your anger and the best way of dealing with it. Once you do that, your life can only improve.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.